So we're in Hebrews chapter 3, and I do know that it's Mother's Day. As you know, holidays sneak up on me, and I don't know what to say about them. I am thankful I had a mother, and I am thankful for my wife, and for all the ladies in the church. It's a great blessing to have you amongst us. It would not be the same without you, believe me. That's for sure. All right, so Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to continue moving through our passage. We're going to move past the quotation of Psalm 95. And we find, as we start looking at the rest of the chapter, that really we are dealing with the same theme. And we are, our topic today sounds even more serious than what we've said so far. You'll see the title, An Evil Heart of Unbelief. And as we work our way through this, just this one verse, I think you'll agree that the topic is very serious. And what we have to say is serious today. There is such a thing as people who consider themselves Christians, but sometimes as time goes on, you begin to wonder what they are basing their salvation on. And so an evil heart of unbelief, that's supposed to jar us, this verse. It's supposed to jar us. So what I want to do is read the whole passage. I want to begin at the quote of Psalm 95, and I want to get to verse 15, but our text is verse 12. So, here we go. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. All right, so it is a sober passage as you read through that. Our focus, again, is on verse 12. And the way the author describes certain hearts here is what grabs my attention. An evil, unbelieving heart is how our translation puts it. Now, we suggested in recent messages that it is possible for Christians to harden their hearts to the things of the Lord. They become less moved by the Scriptures. They become less moved by certain things that God says. Maybe they get hard towards other Christians. Maybe they get upset with God because of some experience that they've had, and they harden themselves and withdraw. And sometimes they'll withdraw even into disobedience and refusing to fellowship with the church. And I've suggested that that kind of hardening produces a wilderness kind of life. The children of Israel, when they hardened their hearts, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they were all dead. And then their sons and grandsons went into the land of Israel. All right? So hardening is a very serious move for a Christian to make. So we don't want a hardened heart. We want soft hearts to the Lord and to the things of the Lord. But what about this heart? An evil heart of unbelief is the way I put it in the title. Is that the same as a hardened heart? We're going to move along from the author's quotation, and he is now applying this passage. He's speaking to those Hebrew Christians who seem to be thinking of pulling back into Judaism, likely due to persecution from unbelieving Jews. So, if we can have a hardened heart, if a believer can have a hardened heart, Can a believer have an evil heart of unbelief? And if we can't, why does the author make this his first application after quoting Psalm 95? So that's what we're going to look at today. I get this proposition for the message. There is a greater danger than a hardened heart. A greater danger than a hardened heart. All right, so let's start with great concern for a specific kind of heart. Now, I am not going to have verse 12 on the screen, so I hope you have Bibles and have them open to our passage. And you can see verse 12. We'll be referring back to it several times. But notice at the very beginning, I want you to, the very first thing to note, the opening words of the verse, take care, brethren. That's how it is translated in the New American. The New International says, see to it, brothers. The New International is catching the underlying Greek word, which is a word for seeing. And it's in the imperative. I think the New American catches the sense of the imperative better, but it's a word of seeing. So look well to it. Right? Take care is what the word means. And commentaries note that this expresses a deep concern, an urgent warning, one of them says. A deep anxiety mixes with the warning, says another. A sharp warning, says a third. So this, take care, brethren. There is a very strong sense of urgency in these words. Open your eyes. Okay? Look at what I'm saying to you. Right? And also, I want to note the word order when he describes the heart here. So, verse 12, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Now, there's, some of you have kidded me about the grammar lessons. We'll have a grammar lesson. All right, so unbelieving is translated here as a participle. Right? It's actually a noun in the text. So the New American, an evil, unbelieving heart. The English Standard Version, an evil, unbelieving heart. The same in the NIV. They all have gone in this direction with it. What was interesting to me is that this time, for sure, the King James gets it right. All right, an evil heart of unbelief. So evil is an adjective. It's describing the heart or modifying the heart. An evil heart. And, of course, the heart is the center of all this discussion. It's the noun at the center. But unbelief is another noun, but it's in what's called a genitive case. It is ascribing a quality to the heart. It's telling you what kind of heart this evil heart is. An evil heart of unbelief. What kind of heart? A heart of unbelief. That's the idea. You look back in our text to the quotation from Psalm 10. Look at Psalm 3. What am I trying to say? Psalm 95. Look at verse 10. That's why I had 10 in my mind. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Alright, so now, take care, brethren, that there not be an evil heart of unbelief in you. So what do we mean by unbelief here then? Well, this element isn't quoted in Psalm 95. The things that he's complaining about and talking about has to do with the actions of Israel in the wilderness, their refusal to go in the promised land, and so forth. In Joshua, or in Numbers 14:9, as they're wrestling with this decision, the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, are protesting and telling the nation, no, we should go forward. And here's a portion of what Joshua had to say. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And so their refusal is what is at issue. But our writer here says, do not have an evil heart of unbelief. He is connecting unbelief with rebellion. With rebellion from Numbers chapter 14. We want to compare the faithfulness of Moses and Jesus. If you look back to verse 2 of our text, it says, he, Jesus, was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. Here, faithful is the word simply faith. When it's used like this to describe a person, it means full of faith, as Jesus and Moses were. Jesus and Moses did what the Father told them to do. In their singular missions of leadership of God's people, Moses led his people almost perfectly. The only time that he disobeyed, when his hardened heart was on display, God prevented him as well from entering the promised land. But that's not the focus of our passage in Hebrews 3. The focus is on Moses' faithfulness. But even more so on the faithfulness of Jesus. Jesus was faithful in all that he did. And so unbelief is unfaithfulness. It's rebellion, connected to rebellion in Numbers chapter 14. But it's unfaithfulness. Pistos is the Greek word for faith. Apistia is the negative. Unfaithful. Unbelieving. Rebellious. And so the idea isn't actually just unbelief, it is disbelief. A.T. Robertson says in his notes on this passage, unbelief is more than mere unbelief, here rather disbelief, refusal to believe. It describes the evil heart marked by disbelief, which is no mark of intelligence, he says, then or now. All right? But it's a refusal to believe. That's the kind of heart that we're talking about. The refusal to enter the land was rebellion. The rebellion meant refusing to believe God's word. God said, go forward, cross into the land, I will be with you. Well, we're not doing that. We don't trust you. We don't believe you. There's giants there, right? And so forth. The rebellion, however, flows from the evilness of the heart. And this is the problem that mankind has as he is born into this world. He has an unbelieving heart. He doesn't know God. He is lost in his native condition. And his heart is full of unbelief. And what every person must have is a moment when they recognize their personal sinfulness and guilt before God and realize they cannot do anything to save themselves. They must call on Jesus Christ to save them. Everyone has to come to this realization. Don't, he says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart that says, no, I won't do that. No, I won't acknowledge my sinfulness. No, I won't acknowledge Jesus as Savior. No, I don't want any part of it. An evil heart of unbelief. Now that's a startling description. I've said, there's a great concern here for a specific kind of heart. That's very startling. It shakes us up. But there's more. Greater concern about a definite consequence. Look at the rest of the verse. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So, greater concern about a definite consequence, falling away in rebellion. As we noted, we had that verse of Numbers 14 verse 9, I read it and I meant to put it on the screen again, and when I made the slides, I forgot about it, so just listen now, just listen. Numbers 14:9, only do not rebel against the Lord, This is Joshua speaking. And do not fear the people of this land. So do not rebel against the Lord. That's the key word. All right? Now, when the Jewish scholars went and translated the Old Testament into Greek, they used a word for rebel. They used the exact same word that our writer uses here in Hebrews 3:12 when he says, an unbelieving heart that falls away. It's the word for apostasy. The word for apostasy. And the idea is active, not passive. We think about somebody who falls away. If you fall away, you know, you're walking down the street and you're sort of not watching where you're going, and there's a little rise in the sidewalk, and you stumble, and you might fall. Right? I experienced that the other day. I was walking somewhere looking, I don't know what, at what, and suddenly there was a little heave, maybe a root under the concrete or whatever had heaved and I almost tripped. I retained my balance. And you know what that's like. Falling away. That's passive. It happens to you all of a sudden. Apostasy doesn't happen to you all of a sudden. Okay. Falling away in this sense is not just tripping and falling. You know, here I was going along minding my own business and I fell into apostasy. That's not how it works. Okay? No. This is active. This is the evil heart of unbelief that says, no! No, I will not follow God. Right? And the Hebrew Christians might excuse their turning back to Judaism. This is the whole issue in the book of Hebrews. We're going to keep coming back to this theme again and again. They might say, well, we're still worshiping the true God. You know, we're just quieting down a little bit about Jesus for now, you know, till things get easier. Leon Morris said about this, to reject God's highest revelation is to depart from God. No matter how many preliminary revelations are retained, a true faith is impossible with such a rejection. Those are serious words. So the one you are rejecting, think about this. The children of Israel in at the border of the promised land. And they're making this decision, and it's going to be a decision that dogs them the rest of their lives. They're making a decision. And it's quite interesting to note a few things about the living God. Notice it says, they fall away from, he uses this term, the living God. Alright? In Deuteronomy 5, in Moses' sermon, we just looked at this recently. In our Wednesday night study. Alright? For who is there, Moses says, of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Now he's recounting what the people were saying to him. Alright? They, remember, there they are, gathered before Mount Sinai. God thunders out to them the voice of the Ten Commandments. And he talks to them, and it appears that he talked to them for quite a long time, and they are quaking. And so they say to Moses, who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God, and as we have and live? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it. So the living God made that revelation to them, but they said, look, we'll do what he says. We just can't listen. We're so afraid of him. Right? It's very interesting. In our passage that in the book of Hebrews, it starts off, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, though people wanted a prophet, don't let him speak to us. But now, look what it says. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. So, he says, take heed, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God who is speaking to you. When you back away from Jesus, you are backing away from the living God. David fought Goliath in the name of the living God. He is one who had faith in the living God. David spoke to the men who were standing by him saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David had faith in the living God. And so there's a great danger in this kind of a heart, this heart of evil, heart of unbelief, this apostate heart, this heart that will fall away, that will turn away from the living God. Now, many people are very dismissive of the living God. He isn't real to them. They might come to church, they might be a part of the church, but it's just like it's sort of a ritual they go through. It's their habit. Or it's something their parents make them do. And they hear the words. And hopefully they're going to a church where the Bible is preached. And they're hearing about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. But they yawn and they hope it'll be over soon. That's falling away. On the outside, everything looks fine, but in the heart, there's a problem. If you reject the living God, where will you get eternal life? All right, so a great concern for a specific kind of heart, a greater concern about a definite consequence, and greatest concern for an individual in spiritual trouble. So, I want you to look again at our text and look right back to the beginning of the verse. Take care, brethren. Now this is what makes the verse confusing. People say, well, wait a minute. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to Christians. And that's true. He considers the people he's writing to as Christians. He accepts their testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's issuing this warning to a group of professing Christians. But look closely at what he says. Take care, or look closely, brethren, that there not be in any one of you, in any individual. Now I accept you as brethren. You know, you've made a profession, or you've come to church and you've made some moves towards God. I'm speaking to you as if you are brethren. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an individual. Now, as Baptists, we teach a thing called regenerate church membership. What that means is that we want those people who are members of the church, not just attenders. And by the way, if you're an attender, you should be a member. Right? But we believe in regenerate church membership. So when somebody makes an application to join the church, then the individual is interviewed about their salvation testimony and about their relationship with God, because we want to do the best we can to ensure that those people who are part of the church, who are committed to the church, are going to have the same kind of faith and testimony that the church has. We want them to be pulling together in one direction, building up God's church. That's the whole idea, regenerate church membership. So if I were to write a letter to you, as the church, I might address you as brethren, or to be more politically correct, brothers and sisters. That's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not adding any others into that. Okay? Just those two. Okay? But I might address you that way. Now, would that mean that every person in the church, even among the members who we have interviewed, would that mean that every one of them would be believers? Okay. Despite our best efforts, it is possible that someone could become a member without real faith. That's true. And notice the focus of the warning. Take care that there not be in any one of you. The possibility of an evil heart of unbelief is real in any congregation. In Israel, there were many who heard the voice of God and experienced the miracles, saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And Jude says, "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe." Those who did not believe. It is one thing to have a hard heart. A hard heart for a Christian will chip away at your relationship with God and with others. And you'll find yourself having a harder and harder time getting along. A hard heart will lead you into wilderness wanderings. But what about an evil heart of unbelief? Where will that lead? We are suggesting a scenario for the audience of the book of Hebrews. Jewish Christians, professing faith in Christ at least, they're experiencing antagonism and pressure from fellow Jews who are not Christians, maybe even their family members, their close relatives. They are thinking about, and some may already have, gone back or going back to Judaism. It's easier, it's safer, less trouble. The author is calling these people who are thinking about this, brethren. And some of them, no doubt, truly are brethren. If they were to fall away from the living God, what would that say about their profession? Well, we don't know. But I do know that if they held in their hearts an evil heart of unbelief, falling away would reveal it. So here's the thing. Suppose there is no pressure. Suppose we could look into the hearts of everyone in our church today. You might think that, I'm glad you can't, okay? But suppose we could. Well, we might see some hard spots, some calluses. Somebody offended you, you've withdrawn, you've hardened yourself, you aren't listening to the voice of God there. Love them that despitefully use you. We might find some hardened spots in your heart if we could look in your heart. But we also might see some hearts that are evil hearts of unbelief. We're not under pressure. We're not under persecution. Nobody's thinking, oh yeah, well, this Christian thing is getting too risky. I think I'll back off. Nobody's saying that. It's easy to be a Christian right now in this city, right now today. I mean, some people think you're weird. Well, a lot of people think you're weird. But you can handle that because you like those folks over at the church. But what kind of heart? What kind of heart? Is it a heart of faith or is it a heart that masks unbelief? It is the evil, unbelieving heart that falls away. So in what condition is your heart? Your heart. Now, mine is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want yours to be also. That's the place of hope, of joy, of salvation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that he offers. We thank you for the heart change that he gives us. We thank you for all that he does for us. Lord, I pray that you would work in every heart here today. Lord, there might be some here who do not know you as Savior. Lord, speak to their hearts right now today. Bring conviction. Bring repentance. Bring a change of heart. If these would yield, Lord, open their eyes and help them see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.